The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is produced independently and locally in Spokane, Washington by Spokecast Studios. Our city, our stories. Visit www.spokecast.com to learn more about how you can start your very own podcast today. The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is presented by Owens Farms Piedmontese and supported by Delish Hamburgers. Thank you to Jinx Universe and Position Music for letting The Perimeter use the song Let's Do It Again from Jinx's album Make It Look Good. Welcome to The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. I'm obviously not Adam Morrison. I am the producer of the podcast, Brennan, with Spokecast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this intro show of the second season of The Perimeter. I got to sit down with Adam on my podcast, Spokecast, and we got to talk about his life growing up in Spokane, basketball in Spokane, all the good things. And then at the end of that podcast, we kind of did the intro to this show, and that's what you're about to listen to. We didn't get into like all the particulars of like what when the show is going to launch. The podcast will be back on November 15th. And once we launch on, we will be back pretty much weekly. We have a couple of breaks in there for Christmas and a couple other natural breaks. But we will be back to talk about all things Gonzaga, and Adam will be joined with special guests throughout the course of the show. Here is the intro to season two of The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. Enjoy.
Let's do it again.
Season one of The Perimeter happened. We got connected, you know, about a year and a half ago. And I should say, like, regardless of what happened with the previous place that we worked with, the podcast was a wild ride.
Yeah, it was.
Like, we had some amazing guests, like Dan Katz, DJ Ski. We had, you know, Mark Few, John Stockton. Do you have a favorite moment from season one?
To be honest, I really enjoyed the player interviews.
Mm.
Obviously, I don't like, you know, I'm not just a basketball person per se, you know, so like Dan Katz and the DJ Ski were great. And, you know, I like the different side, but like getting to really talk to some of those younger guys like Corey Kispert and Joel, especially Joel's, I think Coach Few.
Yeah.
Were really good because it reaffirmed some of the stuff I always thought. And then it's always nice to hear some of the changes or pat yourself on the back and be like, I knew I was right about that.
Yeah.
About certain players. And mm-hmm. Just like, cause you could see it and, you know, and then they finally get their chance. And I like those type of stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest is, you know, all the basketball stuff that, you know, and like even John Stockton's like just hearing those kind of sidebar stories that not a lot of people know are great. Cause he's, you know, he tells the truth and he tells what's on his mind. So it's great.
Aside from anything about him, like he's a legend, and he's what he's done for Spokane and basketball is just,
oh yeah.
You can't really,
it's not even close.
It's not even close. And
you know, and I, you know, this discussion is not about all about him, but it's also like, that's why I mentioned him.
Yeah.
In my retirement, jersey retirement thing.
Yeah.
The rafter thing. It's like, you know what people realize, like how he's changed the sport dynamic in the city. It's not just basketball, it's volleyball, gym space.
Mm.
Doing that to operate basically on a loss.
Mm.
And I know, well, he's made a lot of money. It's like, yeah, but you're still buying something and it's a hole.
Yeah. I mean, okay? if John Stockton wanted to, he could just raise that whole gym and
put charge.
Up and put
or
up
apartments, yes.
Apartments or put something there and make a lot of money on that made space.
A ton of money in that area.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Or be like, all right, you walk in the door, it's $20. Are you going to say no when you go watch your kids? No.
Right.
You kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know.
Yeah.
He's done a lot for the Spokane community.
For sure. I got to say my favorite moment, and I saw this clip the other day, was when we went to Barstool in New York, and Dan Katz asked us to watch Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a guy there named Troops who is a big Arsenal fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you and him got into like a shouting match about, yeah. And I was watching, I was just like, this is great. And yeah. I was like, but it was kind of unreal to be sitting in that room because Big Cat was in there and a bunch of other guys, but then Portnoy, I can never say his last name, was in there as well. And he had put a bunch of money yeah. On the match, and he got bad information because like the reserves were playing for Chelsea.
Yeah. They had it was a meaningless game for them.
And he had put all the money, he put his money on Chelsea, and then Arsenal beat Chelsea. And watching him walk out of the room and getting pissed off was really funny.
Yeah. No, that was a fun day. I mean, and that was, we didn't even know we were going to do that. That was yeah. the best part about that. It was just like, sweet, dude. That guy Troops was nuts though, man. It's a great hire for them though. Like, I get it.
But. That guy like gets kicked out of like, he's been kicked out of a lot of different stadiums in the UK, like, because he tries to stream in like at these matches at the games, and like he gets kicked out. Yeah. Well, turning our focus to season two of the Perimeter, we're back mm-hmm. for one, which is exciting. It's been a long time coming, and we know we've tried to do it a couple different times, but now we got some sponsors behind it. I wanted to talk about the shift in format in that. Now we're going to be talking about recapping games and previewing games.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, you know, your favorite episodes on the season one of with Joel and Corey and the players, the best feedback I ever got was how much people loved hearing you talk about the program.
Yeah.
And now that's going to kind of be the shift. When you sit down and talk about Gonzaga with friends, like, what are the things that you like to talk about?
You know, I like to see development of new players. Mm-hmm. I like to see, you know, how rotations are going to work because they have so many different talented kids now that they kind of have to dissect how they're going to play certain players, certain minutes, keep everybody happy, get, you know, enough shots. I like that, at, you know, that part of the game because mm-hmm. it's not as simple as people think. And then with the transfer portal, people can leave.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to keep everybody happy more so than years past.
That's true.
You know, and then also I think it's nice to be able to kind of have legitimate takes on certain things that are not always, you know, layups or obvious. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, Drew Timmy's played great tonight. He's played great probably 100 and some games at Gonzaga, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll probably be like, he actually didn't play great and this is why, or yeah. what have you. And that's not a knock, but I'm saying we're going to go further in depth mm-hmm. during the season on what my eyes see and, you know, what other, when we bring other guests on, mm-hmm. we're involved with the program or follow the program or cover the program, what their eyes see. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a bash fest.
Right.
But also it's going to be, you know, some in-depth analysis of kind of, where the program's going during the season
yeah.
and what's on the horizon. Then I think it actually helps if, you know, you're not in the state of Washington, you're placing bets. That's going to help too.
For sure.
And that's part of the landscape now.
Yeah.
I'll never talk about, like, if it's a 30-point spread over under, don't even ask me because right. I have no clue.
Right.
But some analysis will help.
Yes, absolutely. When you... how do you think of yourself when it, in terms of as an analyst or as like a player, ex-player, or even like a coach, like, cause you coach your mm-hmm. daughters, when you think of basketball, like, how do you think of, in what mentality do you usually think of it?
So I try to, when I cover the Zags, I try to think as a player and a coach. Now that doesn't define exactly, but from a player standpoint, okay, what type of decision were you trying to make? Mm. And then when there's some, you know, difficult situations or difficult decisions, I have to go to, okay, why is the coach doing this? Mm. And this is why, because I usually know why.
Yeah.
Not always, but it's like, I kind of have an idea of, okay, this is why Coach Few made this decision. This is why he's playing this style. This is why this kid's not playing.
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So in game, you know, I always, you know, try to be like, okay, as a player, why did you make that read? Mm. But then when it comes to like substitution patterns, strategic, you know, things.
To be so close to the program and to be, mm-hmm. you know, a player for so long, like, it just seems like there's so many different angles you can come at, which I think is interesting.
Well, I've said this on our broadcast, and I've talked about it in season one. Like, I never try to be a homer, and I really try to stick by that, because again, at the end of the day, like I said previously, like if they lose, I'm pissed off for like 15 minutes, mm-hmm. unless it's like a Final Four game.
Yeah.
Then I really don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I do, but it's like, it doesn't ruin my week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of people that let sports ruin.
There you go.
That's the
perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
It's not going to ruin my week.
Exactly. And so to do a little prep for the podcast, I want you to put on your analyst hat a little bit.
Okay.
Drew Timmy coming back for his senior season. How much of this had to do with him wanting to try to win a national championship, or how much of it had to do with his NIL deals?
Okay. I think it's both. You know, we don't know what the feedback he got to from the combine. So that's got to be a percentage of, okay, maybe I needed to show this.
Mm.
But, you know, the NIL deals are a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I know he's a motivated kid and a motivated player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to play his hardest to try to win a national championship. But
for sure.
You got to see, the only way I can answer that truthfully is like, what's the number on the NIL deal?
Right.
That's the hard part.
That is the hard part.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so if it's like 50K, it's still good money for a college kid, but it's not life changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's $500,000, your life is not completely changed, but you can, you know, when you graduate college, you can buy a house or kind of in America.
Yeah, right, for sure. Like, I just think like it's this, and I like, do you think that we're in such an emphasis of like this NIL stuff? Like, do you think it's going to, is it going to change college basketball to be a lot more like professional sports?
Absolutely.
Like, is it just like, is it going to get worse, or is it going to get better? Like, or is there any way of even knowing?
I think that right now it's the Wild West, and you know, so then there's these outrageous deals for players and kids, which I'm a Milton Friedman capitalist. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get your money. But also like going to try to recruit basically high school kids with, hey, we get an NIL deal, feels weird. It does.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care what your stance on it. It's like, if you're going to like a junior in high school and be like, hey, we can guarantee $1 million an NIL deal, then it gets weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then you take out the pure aspect of college athletics. So I think there needs to be guardrails. I think there needs to be, you know, situations where certain schools can only maybe do like a certain amount of NIL. I don't know.
Yeah. It's
because I don't care if you make money. Nobody should care.
Right.
But also like, so then you're just basically, everybody's okay with like the top universities with the deepest pockets now having such a bigger advantage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at the big universities, like I think you were mentioning the other day, like Texas, like they just have so much money and they can just pour it into
whatever,
like, and especially the boosters. Like,
yeah,
I think people think that Gonzaga has really deep pockets, but that's not the case.
They have a wonderful group of boosters who have helped this program. Our athletic giving department's great. And that's not a joke, because they built the,
right.
They raised money for a practice facility.
It was like
$30 million. Okay. But there's a group of donors that have really helped this program.
Mm.
Well, at some point that, you know, you have to find your next.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the hardest part, is we don't have a T-Boone Pickens type.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So, but they've shown in the past that they can raise it.
Mm.
So I wouldn't count them out.
That's true.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah.
I'm just saying that from the standpoint of a private school.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they can't do it, but
yeah.
Get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. Yes. Absolutely. Like, and I think there's going to, Gonzaga is going to have to keep up in somewhat if they want to keep on getting these top name recruits.
It's
right?
It's a real thing. You're always, I had a coach tell me recently, and he said, you're always recruiting against a ghost.
Mm.
And what he meant by that is, some schools would be like, yeah, we can get you this NIL deal. Well, that might be full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you're the school that's like, hey, we're going to try and there is some opportunities, but we don't know. So Are you forced to lie now? Mm. You're better off just lying.
Right, yeah. That's so true.
You know what I'm saying?
So I get what you're saying. Yeah,
you're recruiting against somebody and just be like, yeah, I can get this for you. And what if they don't ever come through?
Yeah.
You know, and I think the correction too will happen when there's, you know, some of these businesses will just be like, well, where's the return on our investment?
Right.
You know, and I'm more so talking about the football side of it, because there was a kid that went to Ohio State, sat out a year, and then went to Texas, and he got paid like $1 million, never played a down. God bless him. I think it's the starting quarterback for Texas, Ewers or Cuers or whatever. Mm. I mean, like, if you're that business, you're like,
Well, where's the
you know what I'm saying? You didn't play one down at Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, so
So we put all this money into you, and like, that is strange.
And God bless the kid for doing that. Mm-hmm. But at some point, like, some of these businesses are going to be like, well, you know, where's my return?
Yeah. Shifting back to like, the players, Gonzaga, like, I think everyone knows, like, the big names, but, like, who are some of the players on the team that, like, Gonzaga fans may not know that well right now that you think will make an early impact this season?
Well, people know who he is, but I think Nolan Hickman's going to have a great year.
Yeah.
And he has to have a great year for us to be successful. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Nembhard in the past, and obviously Jalen Suggs, you know, Josh Perkins, like, we've had elite point guard play. Mm-hmm. And those teams have had, you know, obviously great talent around them, but it's always driven by, you know, how good your point guards can play, how efficient they can play. It's not just necessarily scoring, but how efficient can you be? Can you distribute the ball in the right places? So I think Nolan Hickman is a guy that has to have a big year, not a pressure thing, but I think the opportunity's there for him, and I think he's ready for it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get a lot of opportunity to play a ton. Mm-hmm. And have the ball in his hands. And I've always liked his game. He didn't play much last year for obvious reasons.
Right.
But I think for us to look like we have in the you know, recent past, is he has to have a big year. But the great part about that is Rashear Bolton's back. Mm-hmm. And the kid out of Chattanooga's good player too. So like the pressure's there, but it's not completely. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It makes sense.
You know, Silas is good, or who's the kid from Omaha? I keep slipping his name.
Oh, Hunter Silas.
Hunter Silas. Yeah, I said that.
Oh, you said Silas. That. Yeah, you said that. And then, Malachi Smith is the kid out of Chattanooga.
Yeah.
On paper, Gonzaga has a very competitive schedule to open the season. We got Michigan State, Kentucky, Baylor, Alabama, possibly Duke. Like, we're going to learn a lot about this team quickly. Like, what do you want to see from the team early to, like, know that we'll make a run in March?
I think the biggest thing for them is how they're going to look defensively. Mm. And I say that since probably 16 on, we've had elite rim protection. Mm-hmm. No offense to Drew Timmy and Anton Watson, but they're not exactly the greatest leapers in the game. And you want Drew to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we haven't had elite rim protection. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is defensively, it's not just blocking shots. It allows you to down all side ball screens. It allows you to switch, be overly aggressive on a lot of actions. Mm-hmm. So then teams run actions that can't really get any counters to it because you just switch. Then you funnel everything into your big. So you can be super, super aggressive, especially on the wing, out on the perimeter. Funnel everything down.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, Chet was fantastic last year. And everybody always pointed, well, you should be scoring more. It's like, dude, they wanted him for rim protection. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he can do other things.
Yeah.
And then the years before, right before that, it was Shimmick. It was Zach Collins. Mm-hmm. Brandon Clark. Even Rui was a decent rim protector.
Right. And there's just,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the biggest thing for me. Offensively, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Drew Timmy's going to lead them. I talked about Nolan, but they got enough scoring. Julian's going to have a good scoring, but defensively, rim protection, glass is the biggest thing I'm looking forward to seeing. And it's something that they're going to have to be elite at if they want to have a good season.
Can Efton Reed?
See, that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's got the size, but it's not just size.
Yeah.
Timing, being in the right spots, knowing when not to foul. I mean, it's a real thing. And then also, like, you know, teams are good enough to counter against, you know, downing, icing side ball screens and stuff like that. So, and the thing with, like, in the past, you could switch with every guy I just mentioned besides Shimmick. Can you switch with Efton Reed right now? We don't know.
We don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You have no idea. Yeah. Maybe he's great at it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But,
yeah.
But Chet could do it. He could switch and then, okay.
Well, Chet was Alita. Like, I mean, he was. Like,
absolutely.
That's something that you just don't find overnight either. Like, it was.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing for me when they're playing these high level teams is defensively rim protection glass.
Yeah. Finally, the last question I'm going to ask about Zags is obviously last year didn't end the way we all wanted it to end with a championship. What would you say to the fans and, you know, the keyboard warriors who say national championship or bust, or that we can't, Zags can't perform in March, or whatever the fuck people are saying. But like, is that deserved? Or like, it seems like making the tournament 23 years in a row, just like, isn't enough for some people.
I totally agree. I think now you have to be non-biased when you answer this question.
And right.
Like, again, I try to be. So I understand some of the fans, I guess, frustration, but we've made two Final Fours in 5 years. So a lot of programs have cut their arm off for that.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the 23 in a row.
Yeah.
You know, making the tournament. How many West Coast conferences? Probably 11 out of 13 or something. It's something crazy.
Something crazy, yeah.
Something crazy like that. I think we haven't lost in the first weekend in probably, I think it's 6 years now.
Yeah, when we have like
which is nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so like when they say you can't win in March, I don't understand where that completely comes in. We made two.
Yeah.
But again, I think people, what's the saying that you're a prisoner of your own, you know, accomplishments or whatever, like you get measured on that.
Right.
Instead of measured normally.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's like, it's the mentality. It's like I think it's a mentality of like professional sports where there's, you know, there's 32 teams in NFL. There's, that's, you know, there, like if the Seahawks or whoever made the playoffs every year and this always came up short, like that would, you know, that, you know, that would be questionable. But like, I think when you get into NCAA, like, you know, there's 130 teams in Division One. Like, I think
there's more,
probably actually. More than that. Yeah,
there is.
And
300.
Yeah, and and it goes back to the whole, you know, kids or even like young adults. Like these kids are trying hard. Like it's not like they're like not trying. And I always hate that like opinion. Like it's never. It's not enough to just make the tournament. And
yeah, I mean, Tom Hudson always does it well on the radio, as he talks about other teams, you know, cause he'll go, Gonzaga's won, I mean, 19 straight against whomever. I mean, it's some of the numbers we have against some of these other teams, our conference is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll meet the radio guys and, you know, you always like, all right, what do you got? How you doing? You know, good to see you. And then Huddy would be like, that guy hasn't been in the NCAA tournament ever. And you're like, what? You know what I'm saying? And he's been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, so to your point, like making it 23 straight years, like some people need to just be like, doesn't mean you clap for quote unquote failure or losing, but also it's like every year there's a legitimate chance and you should be happy with a legitimate chance in a tournament that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot has to do with your matchup, not your seed, your matchup. Like, even if we won the Arkansas game, was it Arkansas? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Lead eight.
Mm-hmm.
We would have played Duke, and we lost to, you know what I'm saying? But, like, how do we get them as the two seed in our side?
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying?
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's really tough.
So, I don't know.
I mean, it comes down to a lot. Like, in the March Madness, like, where you get seeded, where, like, what bracket you're in. Well, like,
I got to say something about that,
though,
is, like, you asking me that question, I'll give you a long-winded answer, but like if somebody asked me on the street, I'm like, darn, I had a, you know, fuck, oh well, man, you know, right, I mean? I'll just move on, like,
yeah,
I don't
sure.
give a shit, like,
yeah,
cool, dude, like, you're pissed off, like, all right, man, like, they had a good season, like, Jesus, man,
yeah,
like, at some point, like, you know what I'm saying,
like, I get what you're saying, like, yeah,
fuck,
I just think it's one of those, because you're not gonna probably talk too much about it on the show, but it's one of those things that I've heard you've mentioned, you air your grievances to the keyboard warriors, and I just think people like that just need to shut up. But I don't think it helps that we're saying that either.
No,
it just probably gets more fuel to the fire.
Yeah, no, and I think people have just got to go through the cliche shit you got to say.
Sure.
Now, entitled your own opinion, I get that. But also it's like it's a field of 68. And it's hard to win that tournament. Go ask some of the all-time legends.
Right.
I think they will win one. Okay. They still have elite talent every single year, blah, 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 culture. They have all the makings. I mean, they made two finals.
Yeah.
Two final games. Okay. And one of them, the North Carolina one, they could have won. And there were some questionable calls. Now, the Baylor one, they kicked their ass, but it happens.
It happens.
You know, so.
Well, season two is coming back at the Perimeter. We will be launching the first show probably around November 15th. After the first like full week of games, and we'll be having guests on. You'll always be working with someone here in the studio. Yeah. And, I'm just excited to get this started. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, no, I'm excited for the new format. I'm excited to kind of break down and analyze games, mix that in with interviews with people that are familiar with the team. I think it's a good way to kind of keep up with the season for people as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about upcoming opponents. We'll give you the real spit on what that really means.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'll try to be where I think as the coaching staff of why certain decisions happen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. For sure. I'm really looking forward to it because it's not just a complete recap of the season. It's during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get some more in-depth analysis and we'll talk about the season. We'll talk about other things too.
For sure.
We'll have some.
Some Zags moments and
Zag moments, and then there'll be some offshoot episodes too. Let's just like season one where we had like Julian Pena on has nothing to do with basketball,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we'll have a mix.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just during the season.
Mm-hmm.
So excited for it.
Looking forward to it, and yeah, you'll be able to find that wherever you subscribe, listen wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be there. The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. This is going to be fun. So
yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I'll let Adam sign us off. It's his show.
Go Zags.
Let's do it again.
The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is produced independently and locally in Spokane, Washington by Spokast Studios. Our city, our stories. Visit www.spokast.com to learn more about how you can start your very own podcast today. Perimeter with Adam Morrison is presented by Owens Farms Piedmontese and supported by Delish Hamburgers. Thank you to Jinx Universe and Position Music for letting the Perimeter use the song Let's Do It Again from Jinx's album, Make It Look Good.